This program was originally broadcast in 1999.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is clarinetist-composer Don Byron, and he's a musician of many parts. He draws from the classics, early jazz, late jazz, rap, rock, and everything else in between. In short, he's really a musical maverick. And, of course, it's really nice to have you here doing Piano Jazz.
Well, gee, thanks.
You know, after I heard your record, Bug Music, I've really never heard anything like that lately. I mean, to hear all those Raymond Scott tunes and Royal Garden Blues, and I just found that, and I still do, find that a very exciting and sometimes funny record.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get that piano player?
Oh, Uri Kay?
Yes.
Well, he's one of my old great friends, and he's... You know, a lot of people that are around me have to be willing to, like, actually learn some stuff that they didn't know. And a lot of the Ellington parts especially, I had to have somebody who could read them, you know, and really, you know, because the chords in it are just so specific, especially stuff like Cotton Club Stomp and the Dicky Glide, which is, like, such a, you know... I think I cried the first time we rehearsed it. It's so
heavy. See, the
so
Dicky
heavy.
Glide. Now, I never knew that tune, and the way you arrange it for the instruments, it's terrific. Where did you, I mean, how
well,
did you learn
that? Those are really pretty literal transcriptions, you know. And that's, you know, it's from 1920, whatever. I mean, it's really the way it was. I mean, we didn't change it too much. I mean, some people, when they do, like, old stuff, they almost like to do, like, this kind of postmodern David Murray thing. It's like you start with the shell of what you're doing, and then you kind of take it way further than they would have taken it. When I do repertory stuff, I just want it to sound right, you know. I think that's hard, and I think that there's not that many people that can really, you know, get the transcriptions right and then teach a band how to sound in a style that they're not familiar with. That's hard.
Well, you really took on, like, some kind of a, I wouldn't call it a task, but I mean it's something that you want to show people these early Ellington arrangements. And I mean, mm-hmm. What better way to highlight them than you did on this record, exactly the way they were. And they,
mm-hmm.
I mean, but they're timeless, those things.
Oh, I mean, that... To me, as a composer, that period of Ellington, it's not that I don't like the Blanton Webster stuff, but that period of Ellington, just from tune to tune, is so inspiring. It's so wildly diverse, and just even the way the rhythm section is set up, how the band is divided up, the kind of chords that he uses and the way that he distributes them. It's such an exciting period of any composer's life. I mean, there's nothing else like it. There's just a period of Bartok that I think is almost as great. There's the neoclassic Stravinsky period I think is really great. But to me, as someone that studies composition, that's like my favorite period of anybody's work.
Well, before we go any further, I'm dying to hear a lot more, but let's play something.
All right. Well, let's play Perdido then.
All right.
One, two, one, two.
At the beginning. Now, what was that?
Well, that's this line that, like, three instruments. When I was in the Ellington band for a period, and I never really actually played much clarinet in the band. I was the baritone. I was the Harry Carney guy, but I think it was clarinet, trombone, and a trumpet player would play that long line out in front of the band coming in with the main melody. You know, it's at least that Charlie Parker era.
Yeah, well, I heard that. You know, I thought that's something you just stuck in.
No. There's lots of things, it seems like, in the Ellington stuff. It's like somebody like Ben Webster takes a killing solo, and then it becomes this, you know, orchestrated thing or something.
Well, when you were with Mercer Ellington,
yeah.
Unfortunately, you were too young to have been with Duke, but so much of the Duke Ellington mystery and mystique was still there, wasn't it?
Well, there were a few guys that had been around when Duke was alive, and it's kind of like they would tell you stories. The stories were cool, you know, about where you could sit in the bus, how much certain people didn't like each other. You know, it just added to the flavor of the whole thing. I think in my mind, the whole Ellington thing has this tribal feeling, you know, almost like this, when you read about the way gamelan is made in certain countries, and it's like this community thing that has a lot of mysticism around it. I think that's the way I think of the band and just the whole life energy that Duke seemed to provide for all these guys and let them shine.
We're so into Duke Ellington. It would be nice to do another Duke tune. What do you think about doing Mood Indigo?
Okay.
All right.
It's a Maverick tune.
A tune for two Mavericks?
A tune for two.
Okay. I think that was nice. I was trying to remember when Duke wrote that. I'm sure it must have been many years ago, because I think I learned that tune in England when I was first hearing Duke's band and so enthralled with the sound.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one of his early tunes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, really from the... It's not like quite the Washingtonians era, but it's a little after that.
Almost. But now I really want to quiz you some more, Don, about you, how you got started. Were your parents musicians, or did they help you some way?
Well, you know, my dad was a bassist, and he played a lot of calypso music, actually. You know, we're West Indian. So he played a fair amount of calypso and jazz. He had a lot of kind of friends that he played jazz with, too. And so I kind of grew up seeing that music. I wasn't really directly participating that much because, you know, clarinet is kind of this instrument that's way out of circulation in terms of contemporary life. But the thing that was cool was that my father played in a calypso band that was fronted by this clarinet player, this guy named Fats Green.
Fats Green?
Fats Green. And Fats Green was super bad. He was uber bad. And like a lot of the self-esteem that I have about being able to stand in front of a band, this cat was fearless. I mean, and he kind of almost played like a New Orleans style calypso clarinet. Like he really knew a lot of stuff from different spaces. He played a little bit of alto, just playing parts, but his clarinet playing was impeccable, and he was real inspired. So,
well, did you ever play piano?
Only in the way once I got involved in trying to figure music out. There's no substituting keyboard. When I was in my neighborhood, I played in a lot of Latin groups. Kind of came around my neighborhood.
You mean as a kid?
As a kid. And once people knew that I knew some theory, they'd ask me to write down a record or two. And I kind of got started figuring out real music theory, like not classical connect-the-dots working, but real working music theory. I figured that out from playing in Latin bands. And when I moved to Boston, I think the second day I was there, I walked into a rehearsal studio and a Latin group didn't have a piano player. And so I sat down and I started playing Montunos and, you know, was kind of very consistently involved in my Boston time.
Play a certain way. That's not really something I'm good at. And we had Eddie Palmieri.
Oh,
I guess,
man,
you know him.
He's my idol.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he is one of my living idols.
Well, then you know how to play that music.
Well, I don't know how to play. I don't know how to play like he knows how to play. I mean, he is just unbelievable and a great aesthetic magician of his idiom. He's so great.
Well, before we go any further, let's play something. Can we play Lotus Blossom?
Yeah.
We're not going to do that in D, are we?
No, I think B flat would be genetically superior.
It's okay with me.
No, that was very heartfelt. I mean, that felt very sincere to me.
Well, it did. It felt very, very good. Loved doing that, and it's been a long time since I played that piece. How about just one more tune? Back to Duke Ellington. What do you say?
Okay. Well, let's do Main Stem. I recorded that on my very first record, you know.
Well, that's a good tune. That's basically a blues, isn't it?
It's basically a blues, but it's such a lot of Duke stuff. The intervals and the way they relate to the chords, there's a little subversive action happening there.
Subversive, that was him. He could be a little subversive.
See, I knew he was like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Don, I can't thank you enough for being here. It's just been a wonderful time.
Well, you know, and we're having fun. We should hang out.
Yes, well, we can. There's nothing, no law against that. We'll do it.
Oh, no law against, no. Okay.
We shall do it.
Okay. One, two, one, two.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.